Beste luisteraars, welkom weer bij een nieuwe TP Talks. Ik begin in het Nederlands, maar ik ga snel over naar het Engels, want we hebben een gast voor onze podcast die heel goed Engels spreekt, geen Nederlands, maar waarschijnlijk nog beter Fins. Het is Etu Pekola. Etu, welcome to this podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah. Well, you're not here, but you're on the podcast because you're somewhere in the northern part, in the middle part of Finland, I think. I cannot pronounce the name, but it's above Helsinki, I think.
Yeah. Roughly 500 kilometers north from Helsinki, in a city called Pyhäjärvi, where our offices are located.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Listeners, we are now going to talk with Etu, who is chairman or CEO of Puhanet, I think that's pronounced. That's a regional fiber network owner and service provider, but we will come to that later. He is also, vice president of the Finnish Regional Network Association, which we'll discuss later on. And why we chose to talk to Etu is that we think it's nice to have some view from another country and compare it to our Dutch fiber rollout. And in our discussion we had previously, Etu, there were some peculiarities of the Finnish markets. We don't know in the Dutch market, so I think the listeners have a pleasant 30 minutes ahead of them. But before we start diving into the Finnish fiber network of the Finnish broadband market, perhaps best to introduce yourself a bit more. Who are you, and how did you come in this business?
Thanks. So my name is Etu Pekola. I've been working as the CEO for Puhanet for a little over 3 years, but I've been working in the industry for 22 years now. And how I stumbled upon or ended up in the telecoms or the fiber industry is by accident. Oh. Our family received or got their first computer like early 90s.
Yeah.
And I, as a young man, was really interested that what is this machine that can do all kinds of things. And I was going through it and seeing how it works. And then my grandfather got a computer a little after that. And he had a lot of problems with the computer. Mm. And he always used to call me and please come and help me.
Yeah.
And I did. And he started to say that you're so good that with these computers, me as a 12, 13-year-old, that you should get a job with these computers and that I think these are the things for the future.
Yeah.
And fast forward a little, some years. So I had in Finland, when you graduate from high school, you need to make the decision where you should go.
Yeah.
And I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I remembered my grandfather's words and thought to myself that, okay, I'll go study data communications until I know what I want to do. And I guess I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. And when did you start with the company currently, Puhanet?
2022.
Yeah. Okay. So,
I started to work in this field in 2003 as the local telephone or company in Kokkola, where my family lives, as a data communication specialist, and then moved forward from that.
Yeah, so you're in the business for, 25 minus 22 is 3 to 4 years. And we're going to discuss about what's happening in the Finnish broadband market. But perhaps for the listeners, can you please explain a bit more about your company, how big it is, and what your ambitions are, and what you're planning to do with your professional life in the coming years?
Yes. The company was founded by the city of Pyhäjärvi in 2013. The current state or the status back then was that a lot of the smaller cities didn't have the data infrastructure that they needed. They were covered with the DSLs or mobile data coverage, and there was a need for faster networks and more reliable networks. So a lot of cities founded a company to build the fiber network. So that's how Pyhäjärvi or Pyhänet was founded. And later, the surrounding two cities and towns joined in. So Haapajärvi and Kärsämäki that are close by Pyhäjärvi joined in on the company. And currently, we have a network, roughly, was it 3,000 kilometers of trench?
Yeah.
A lot more fiber. We cover a huge portion of Finnish middle of Finland. We cover the cities or towns of Reisjärvi and Kärsämäki and cities of Haapajärvi, Pyhäjärvi. We have roughly 2,600 customers, and we are currently in a phase where we are doing big rollouts for our company. We are planning to double our paying customers. Hmm. So from 2,600 to 5,200.
Yeah. Okay. So compared to the Dutch market, of course, 3,000 customers isn't that big. It's rather small.
Yes.
But I understood that there are a lot of small regional fiber networks in Finland. Can you tell us a bit more about it?
Yes, but back in the beginning of 2010, the Finnish government made a law. I think the law is from 2009 that allowed the government to fund fiber or critical infrastructure building fiber. Mm-hmm. So cities could have funding from the government to build these fiber networks, and a lot of cities started their own company, and that ended up that we have roughly 80 at the moment smaller fiber network owners like us.
Yeah.
That the smallest can be like 100 paying customers to 4,000 paying customers. So they are really, really in the grand scale of things, really, really tiny,
mm-hmm.
but they are many.
Yeah. Yeah, and apart from these very small ones, but many ones, of course, you have some big companies in Finland as well, but they probably yes. focus on the largest cities.
Yes, I could say that there are 3 to 4 picker operators that have far more bigger rollouts than us.
Yeah,
speaking about hundreds of thousands of paying customers that they are looking for, but they mainly focus on bigger populated, more densely populated areas in yeah. Finland.
Yeah.
So, because the build out naturally is a little more expensive on the rural areas.
Yeah. And you roll out your network yourself. You said about 3,000 kilometers already of trench you have with more fiber. But you also provide the services on it, so basic broadband and potentially also other services like TV. Is it an open network? Is, for example, the nation incumbent allowed to use your network to offer services?
Yes, there's a law in Finland that regulates every fiber owner in Finland that has made the announcement that they are a fiber owner to rent out cables and fibers to others.
Yeah. Okay. And are they using your network, or are you able to be your own incumbent on your own footprint?
Well, they are using our network in some cases, but not a lot. We are willing to rent out, of course.
Yeah.
A customer is a customer, but mostly we are the incumbent.
Yeah. Okay.
Operator.
And we're having 2,000 or 3,000 customers to round up in the cities you mentioned. I can't recall how they actually name, because Finnish is not that an easy language to learn, I can tell you. Tried Duolingo for a day, but it didn't work.
It was easy for me.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but you, if you start rolling out, I understood you do some demand aggregation before, so you don't roll out to everybody. Can you explain a bit more how you work?
Yeah, when we set on the area, there's actually maybe twofold the story behind it. If it's an area that has on a scale of rural area or dense, we do it ourselves. But if it's more rural that we need help, that the business case won't make any sense, we apply for government funding.
Yeah.
But after that, the process is the same. We start by selling pre-registrations, and we try to get, either way, we try to get as high pre-registration rate as we can, but the lower limit for funding is 25% of the households in the area. So that's the, that we do that first. And when we get enough registrations, we start to roll out.
Yeah.
Go to the rollout phase.
Yeah. And I've been to Finland before, but I stopped short at Helsinki visiting Nokia, which was then a great and big company. It's a bit smaller now, I think. But it's a big rural countryside. So the houses aren't in rows of 20-30. So the cost of rolling out fiber is compared to the Dutch market, I think, tremendously much higher. It's, can you tell something about the cost and the funding you get?
Yes, we have, because I like you said, I'm the VP for the Regional Networks Association in Finland. We made the estimate that's based on what we know about the regional networks. And if we look at the build-out cost in rural areas, it's roughly 3,000 euros per customer.
Yeah. Okay.
And the way we fund it is that if it's close to that, we apply for the government funding. The money comes from the government and the EU. So we get 65% of that down by the funding.
Yeah, per connection. So if you have a demand of 40%, you still get the same amount of money per line, or is it up to a maximum, or there's a minimum of 25%, but is there a maximum?
There's the minimum of 25%, but the costs are covered by the project, not by the customer. So it makes it a lot more simple.
Yeah. But if you roll out in a city or a small village and you say we have people take up, sign up for 30%, but if the network's there and people are going to sign up next, so they missed out the first option, how do you go about with that? Do you is the connection easy, or do you need to dig again? How does that work?
Well, our plan, this depends on the regional network, but how we do it is that we make the, if you pre-register, we bring the house, and you, after we've gone, you have a working connection of what you order.
Yeah.
And if you didn't pre-register, of course, during the rollout phase, it's still possible to register, and we build it for you. But if you, if the excavator has gone by and you're late with the registration, it's still, we leave capacity for fiber to register later. But then it won't be that cheap that it is on the rollout phase.
Yeah.
Because there's, we need to bring the excavator there or do something. The way we've solved that is that in some instances we bought a chain trencher.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, like a chainsaw for the soil.
Yeah, for big trees.
And we use that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps us get down the cost of later registrations.
Yeah, because it's all natural ground. No, well, concrete or what you need to dig into. It's just soil, is it?
Soil and rocks.
A lot of rocks or a little rock?
Depends on the place, but usually Finland is pretty rocky everywhere.
Yeah.
So there are rocks different sizes, but we can work around or over the rocks.
Yeah.
They're too big.
Yeah, and if you go over the rock, then you go also on top of the soil, of course, or do you still put it in the soil somewhere?
We put it on the soil. If the rock is visible on the ground, we go around it because we want to have the fiber at least down to 40 centimeters down the sun, because you know we have the winter here, the icy, the constant frosting and defrosting of, or yearly frosting and defrosting of soil moves the stuff that's in the soil. So 40 centimeters is what we thought would be at least enough.
We thought it would be enough. It sounds like it didn't be enough.
Yeah, sorry, I meant that we still believe.
Okay.
We believe it's enough.
Yeah. And the funny thing in Flanders, of course, is you can't dig year round. You have only a limited number of months to dig. So if people sign up in July, they have to wait a year before you come by, I think.
Yeah, in some cases, if you're lucky, it can be faster. But in most cases, because like I said, the soil freezes. You can still do the digging then, but it's a lot more harder. It's more expensive. Because if you dig when the soil is frozen, you can't put the soil back the same way it was. You have to come back in the spring when the soil is defrosted and then do the afterwork.
Yeah.
So we really rarely do that. Yeah. We have like the average of from May to October that we can do rollouts, and then it's quieter during the winter. But that really depends on the year.
Yeah. Okay. And let's zoom in on the people that don't decide to take up your services but stick to some other broadband. What is that, all fixed wireless access, or is that DSL? What are your competitors in your area?
These days, it's almost all the time fixed wireless access. DSL has been shut down in most parts of Finland. There's some parts that still have DSL, but those areas we work in are under fixed wireless access.
Yeah. So, and that's fixed wireless on 4G, I presume, or already on 5G. And can you tell me?
5G is the new latest.
Yeah. And we, of course, in the Netherlands, we also have fixed wireless access, but probably not on the scale you have in Finland, because we don't have that much rural area. But is it a big competitor, compared to Fierce, or is it a startup for people who say, well, I like fixed wireless access, but I prefer fiber later on? How are the dynamics over there?
It really depends on the area, but fixed wireless access started like a couple of years ago with the 5G, mm-hmm. and there was they started rolling out really much the fixed wireless access, but then the areas we work in didn't get any more cell phone towers, and the signal on the 5G is a little more easy to be disturbed by, let's say, leaves on a tree. Mm-hmm. It might, the fixed wireless access might work during the winter, but then the leaves come to trees and it stops working. Mm-hmm. It works in some cases, but I wouldn't say when we go and sell fiber, the people are usually really pleased that somebody is building fiber, because the mobile, they happen to live in an area where the mobile coverage is relatively bad.
Yeah. Okay. So you're embraced with open arms to start rollout.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned your price, are they still happy?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. We actually compare really good with our pricing to the fixed wireless access pricing. And we did, on regards to the pricing, we had and then initial fee for the registration. Mm-hmm. But we did some calculations and made the decisions to not have the pre-registration cost anything.
Yeah.
So it's just a monthly basis. So that makes the decision to take the fiber in use a lot easier.
Yeah. And what's the ballpark monthly subscription rate for 100 megabits or a gig?
100 megs is at the moment like 40 euros a month. And then 60 euros for 1 gig. Okay. That's the ballpark.
Yeah, and that's basic internet. And then if you would like to watch some television shows or whatever, you either take Netflix or take a TV subscription from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what the regional networks do in most cases is IPTV. That's some euros more for to have that.
Yeah, and that's not a product you make yourself, but you just buy somewhere else wholesale.
Yes. Yeah, that's a wholesale product.
Yeah. And in the Netherlands, we have something like named like cord cutting. People don't not watch TV anymore. How's that in Finland?
We have the demographic of Finland is like inverted pyramid. So we have a lot of elderly.
Yeah.
And not so much people being born. And the elder people or the older ones, baby boomers, I've heard somebody say,
yeah,
they watch TV still a lot. But the younger people, they tend not to watch TV that much anymore. So
okay,
that answers your question.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, you also mentioned that a lot of youngsters leave the countryside or rural area. So basically, your customer base are all baby boomers or older?
Yeah, that's it, sad but true. The smaller cities, because there are bigger cities like Oulu and Helsinki and Tampere that are still growing in populations, but that's on the expense of the smaller cities and towns like on our area. And then there's the natural causes for the depopulation of the countryside.
Yeah, the depopulation is an interesting word, of course. But understood that you have a lot of connections. You did some calculations. You said that within a couple of years, 10 or 20% of your installed base will be gone because nobody's living at the house anymore. Which is,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
People are moving. The children have moved to a bigger city for work or for whatever reasons they might have, maybe more opportunities in larger cities. And then the elderly parents stay at the home. And then when they move to the senior homes or retirement homes or die,
yeah,
the house goes empty. Nobody lives there. Nobody that needs electricity or fiber.
No, which is odd because in the Netherlands we are in search of a lot of homes, so perhaps we could migrate to Finland then, of course. But
yeah, please, there are a lot of beautiful homes here.
Yeah, I will visit it very soon then. But connecting all the homes with fiber is, of course, one of the methods of the government to make, well, living there preferable again. So people moving out from the city to the rural areas to do some remote working. Is that a trend you already see, or is it needs to start?
In a miniature scale, we see that we have already people in our that are our customers that work for companies even abroad, and the fiber is the thing that they need to be able to work. But there's not a like it's not on the big scale. But I hope that people see, because there have been studies made how nature and being around nature helps you psychologically, that people will notice that and value that, and then the migration would start.
Yeah.
That's it. Still in the hopes, we don't see that in large scale.
No. But the interesting part, of course, is when you do your rollout plans, it sounds odd to be taking into account that number of percentages will not be connected within a couple of years, so that it will impact, of course, your business case. Is it difficult to cope with, or because you said 10?
It's yeah, wouldn't say difficult, but you need to be smart about it. And it helps that we are city owned, so we don't have like objectives or KPIs that we need to be met. Part of our existence is to help people live, you know, on the countryside or the rural areas of Finland. But we cannot stay stagnant, of course, because we can see that the population in our area is going down. And that means that we need to invest in new areas where there aren't fiber and larger our area of operations to have the opportunity to grow and get new connections or paying customers instead of those houses that go empty.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned you are owned by the city. So the city is actually taking all the profit or losses. How was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it loss or profit? I think it's
profit.
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 Oh, so yes. So you are a money maker for the city over there.
Yes, we are. not in. I wouldn't say money maker, but they don't have to cover our losses. We make so we can provide the services as our own without need for external funding.
Yeah. Okay. And you plan to roll out or to double your network size? That's a plan for 1 or 2 years, or is that longer?
It's from 3 to 5 years, actually.
Yeah, and then you have covered all your area. Are all houses done then, or do you need to find new areas to roll out?
We're constantly on the look for new areas. We have settled on some areas already that we are building.
Yeah,
but we're constantly looking that is there areas that would need services, because we don't want to compete against somebody else.
No.
They're on rural areas. There's no point in going in and competing in rural areas because the costs are already high.
Yeah, much higher than the 3,000 you mentioned on average for rolling out.
Yes.
Yeah. And you said you get more than 60% of funding for the project. So you could say if you connect a lot of, far rural houses far away in the woods, for example, or on the lakes, you still recover that cost, of course.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we've calculated that we are more patient than maybe somebody else in recovering that money. But what we calculated, the return of investment is somewhere around 5 to 7 years, depending on the area where we are.
Yeah, which is a good term. Giving the network, of course, that's there to stay.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you see any consolidation going on with the smaller cities, giving they need skill perhaps? Or is it 80 it is and it stays 80?
No. Consolidation has been going on for a long time already. Yeah. It started out with the traditional telephone companies. There was consolidation there. And now when the fiber rollouts are really going in Finland, they've been going on for 2 years at least, the large scale rollouts of the bigger players, we still see a lot of consolidation for companies.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think your company will be bought or consolidate into a larger city nearby, or are you the one who is going to consolidate?
Our plan is that we are the ones who buy out than the other smaller networks that don't have the capability of existing, or the same problem that I think it's everywhere, that there's lack of professional people, and we have those. If somebody, we're not aggressive, of course, in the on buying anyone, but if somebody feels the way that they don't have the resources anymore to have the company anymore, we are there to help.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. So if we call again in 2 years' time, you are much bigger than you currently are.
Yes, that's the plan.
The company, of course, yeah. One question, Etu, is that coming back to the rock you come across when you start using the chainsaw and digging this hole, how do you keep track of where you put the line, of course? Because in the Netherlands we have something mentioned, a click system, where we know what's underneath all the, on piping and lining, that kind of stuff. How does it work in Finland?
We have, or every company has their own system. They document what they build wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have companies that provide the information to where our cables are. Every company that has underground infrastructure is obliged by law to document it and deliver the information to some of these companies. It doesn't matter what, but you would need to have to provide the information to somebody. So if somebody is digging somewhere, he can go or she can go look at that company's service and see what's under the ground.
Yeah, and how you go about tracking down where you put the line? It's using GPS trackers, or how does it work with you?
Yeah, GPS tracking after the build out, or at the same time as the build out.
Yeah, so if you go around a rock, you use GPS to make sure where the line is nearby the rock.
Yeah,
so, yeah, okay. Okay, I think Finland is going for not for 100% fiber, because presumably not every house can be connected by fiber. They are too way off, I presume. So I think you mentioned something like 90% of all the houses will be connected with fiber, you said?
Yeah, I needed to check that. And the national target isn't actually about fiber. It's about 100 megs connectivity.
Okay.
And that target is 100% by the end of this year.
Okay. Either so fiber.
There's no target for fiber.
No, it's just the be connected. So it's either fixed wireless access or fiber. Then
Or then it can be also DOCSIS, but that's only in the city centers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sounds like the Netherlands, of course, but then slightly different. Okay.
Yeah.
Edu, have you something left to share with us for the Dutch listeners or international listeners about what's happening in Finland?
Yeah. Or I'd say what I'd like to mention is that, like I said, there are a lot of companies, and the companies are small with less than 4,000 customers. So we cannot have a lot of employees.
Yeah.
Like our company, we have 5 people working for us. And then actually what we do is we handle the rollout projects ourselves. Mm. We use contractors, we use people for splicing, but then it is a huge workload for us to handle everything.
Yeah.
And we need, if we talk about streamlining processes and using automation, those are big words that sometimes don't mean anything. But for us, that's key. We need good systems, good processes to handle everything during the rollout phase and maintaining the network.
Yeah. You don't have tens of people tracking down where you put in the line. You need some system to. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially you, the lines are quite long in Finland, I think, before you reach your home. So,
yeah, and our projects can be like 200 kilometers from where I am, so that I have no way of going there to see how the project is going. So I need a system that I can log into and see where the build out is going, or if a customer calls us, then when is my fiber being connected. I need to have a system that helps me to answer the question of the customer, because a happy customer stays as a paying customer.
Yeah, yeah. But that, when they are a customer from your network, then they don't go. They don't have any options. You don't have any competition.
Well, there's always the mobile they can go back to.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw a little smile, but
yeah. So we cannot be like content with the way things are. We need to be always trying to service our customers the best way we can.
Yeah, I think every company should have that motto. So that's good to hear. Etu, we come to the end of our podcast. We only use about 30 minutes. I would like to thank you very much for being online with us and help us understand a bit more of Finland. A beautiful country with a lot of empty homes. So everybody looking for a home can go to Finland. I will mention that in the text online later. Good to get to know you. And I think we will stay in contact and looking forward to hear you about plans for rollouts and how things go, Etu. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for listening and looking forward to have you back on our next podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.